szelek ja. Csak csőröm, mint a jel, tesz már szívül vélem áll. Sítéltem a hosszám, szakítam én a butlé. Svajon pakenányom, gratis vapadom tikam. Sikeszetejtem ja, pravonítanám. Siedvejte grave, si mazadi gorobina. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So reading from the natural devotion. Which is more than a summary translation of the Bhaktivedanta Simha. Sometimes the text is summarized and sometimes Srila Prabhupada also adds a little commentary. One devotee has confidently expressed this opinion: if a drop of Lord Krishna's mercy can be bestowed upon me, then I shall feel completely carefree, even in the midst of a fire or an ocean. But if I become bereft of his causeless mercy, then even if I became the king of Dwarka, I would simply be an object for pinpricks. So like here, we see with a drop of mercy of Krishna, what is the significance of the suffering in the material world? But without the mercy of Krishna, everything in the material world is suffering. That's basically the translation of that. So, devotees such as Maharaj Pariksit and Uddhava are all situated in ecstatic attraction on the basis of affection. And in that state, or out of affection, a feeling of friendship becomes manifest. When Uddhava was free from all material contamination, he saw the Lord and his throat became choked up. He could not speak. By the movements of his eyebrows alone, he was embracing the Lord. Such ecstatic love has been divided by great scholars into two groups, addition and subtraction. If a devotee is not directly associated with the Lord, it's called subtraction. In this state of love, one is constantly fixed with his mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. A devotee in this state becomes very eager to learn of the transcendental qualities of Krishna. The most important business of such a devotee is attaining the association of the Lord. In the Srimad Purana, there is a statement about King Ikshvaku, which illustrates this state of ecstatic love. Because of his great affection for Krishna, King Ikshvaku became greatly attached to the dark cloud, the black deer, the deer's black eyes, and the lotus flower, which is always compared to the eyes of the Lord. In the 10th canto, 38th chapter, verse 10 of the Bhagavatam, Akrura thinks, since the Lord has now appeared to diminish the great burden of the world and is now visible to everyone's eyes in his personal transcendental body, when we see him before us, is that not the ultimate perfection of our eyes? In other words, Akrura realized that the perfection of the eyes is fulfilled and one is able to see Lord Krishna. Therefore, Lord Krishna was visible on the earth by direct appearance. Everyone surely attained perfection. Everyone who saw him surely attained perfection of sight. Demoniac kings. And all these demoniac kings were increasing the sinful reactions manifold. Everywhere, sin was piling up. So the earth could no longer bear this weight. And therefore, in great distress, went before Lord Brahma, who then sympathized. And subsequently, Lord Brahma, accompanied by all the demigods, went to the ocean of milk where Lord Vishnu was resting. And then the Lord transmitted a message to Lord Brahma that soon he would appear and that all the demigods should take their birth in the family of the Yamas. And Krishna then came to this world. Krishna performed his pastimes, and Krishna somehow arranged it that many demons were to be killed. Putana, the first one, was impressive. Up to 20 kilometers tall in her natural condition. Not only that, drinking blood of babies as a means of pleasure. So, a kind of an intense personality. But Putana is remembered not for what she did, but Putana is remembered for what she received. The most outstanding element in all of Putana's pastimes is not that she was 20 kilometers small, not that she took this form of an extremely beautiful woman, not that she entered the house of Nanda Maharaj when Nanda Maharaj wasn't there, and all the sort of most of the men had gone with Nanda to Mathura to pay the tax. So actually only ladies and old men were there. And when Putana walked into the village, the eyes of the old men popped out of their sockets. And you know, the ladies, when they saw her, they thought, she's incredible. There's no woman like her. She must be a goddess. And because a goddess had come and went naturally to Krishna, logical, of course, Krishna is so wonderful, of course the goddess would come to Krishna. That's something to be expected. Ah, and see, she was totally overwhelmed by love for child Krishna and trying to breastfeed him. Ah, just see. Ah, so nice. And it is said that, but at a glance, he thought this child can destroy the entire universe. And Krishna sucked that breast, sucked the poison, which he disregarded. What is poison going to do to him? So he sucked the milk, which he accepted as a loving offering, and her life there to finish off the demoniac nature of Putana. He sucked also. But as he was sucking out her vital energy, Putana felt great pain. And as a result, she was no longer able to maintain that disguise. So she started to take her original form. But at the same time, she was trying to pull this child of her breast, and with his little hands, he held on and squeezed extremely hard, which increased the pain and he fought. So then she just started running, and as she ran, she grew in size to her original form and ran to the edge of Vrindavan and smashed on the ground right in the middle of Kamsa's favorite fruit orchard. So that certainly was a nice arrangement, but nicer still was that Putana was given the position of a mother. Now Krishna, of course, has many mothers, not only in Sola, but so many ladies, Mother Krishna. They're all around him, mothering him all the time. So she became a datri,
a nurse who was sort of mothering Krishna in the spiritual world.
So Putana is remembered again and again for that inconceivable mercy that she received. It is that what we are thinking about, the mercy of the Lord. That is the topic tonight, the inconceivable mercy of the Lord. So it begins with Putana. Putana is the evidence of the causeless mercy of the Lord, the undeserved mercy of the Lord. What did Putana do to deserve the mercy? So then it said that later on, when Lord Rama stole the calves in cowherd boys, then there were so many, then Krishna took the place of all these calves in cowherd boys for 1 year. And all these calves, they were breastfed by the cows. So it said all those cows were also breastfeeding Krishna, just like Putana. So did they not get the position of mothers? Oh yes, they surely did. They also became Krishna's mothers in the spiritual world, and even closer, more intimate than Putana naturally. So in this way, how great is the mercy of Krishna, when even the service which is offered mixed with poison is accepted, and Krishna is overlooking the poison and only accepting the good offering. So that is something that's encouraging. So mercy begins with encouragement, because we feel that our service is mixed with poison, our service is mixed with impurity, with envy, with lust, with greed, and all these things. Then who can say that he is so pure? So the poison is there. The poison is in our mind. Poisonous thoughts are there. Sinful thoughts appearing so many times. Sinful desires. Poison has entered in so many ways. We make an offering to Krishna of service, but it's always mixed with that poison. But still there is hope, because Krishna tends to disregard poison. He looks for that service. So just see. But this pastime is very important. Very important, the Putana pastime. And that's why Srila Rupa Goswami also highlights it in the Nectar of Devotion elsewhere. Now we are reading about Akrura, who is speaking about relieving the burden of the earth. And Krishna relieved the burden of the earth. But at the same time, alright, relieve the burden of the earth, remove all the sinful reactions that are stored all over the planet. And right now, the world is a mess. Who will deny it? Everyone, it's easy to figure that out. Yeah? But disregard. Even if Krishna would remove all the sinful reactions that are touching the earth, then all the deserts would disappear. Then everywhere grains would grow naturally. Then jewels would be widely available, and gold would be found without digging. Herbs, natural herbs, would be there in the forest that would rejuvenate and strengthen everyone's health and body. Everywhere, fruits would grow naturally on their own. Everywhere, deer and antelopes would roam in the forests. But if all the sinful reactions of the earth would be removed, then even the influence of Satya Yuga would return. And then what? And then what? Then still not seeing Krishna. So just seeing Krishna is the only thing that can satisfy. Just becoming free from the suffering of sinful reactions, liberation from suffering, so what? Still suffering if you don't see Krishna. Only by seeing Krishna can one feel satisfied. And if one sees Krishna, then who cares about any sinful reactions? What does it matter? Now, these things become totally insignificant. What does it matter? Seeing Krishna, therefore, is the only real mercy. Therefore, devotees, those who are in separation of Krishna, are always desiring to see Krishna. That is their nature. Therefore, mercy of Krishna means that Krishna reveals himself. That's mercy. It is said that the secondary benefit, the external benefit of the holy name, is that it destroys all sinful reactions. We're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and it is said that all sinful reactions are destroyed. People, once brahmanas had assembled and were glorifying the chanting of the holy name, it destroys all sinful reactions. Just by, it says it destroys the sinful reactions at the root, just like the sun is dissipating fog. All right. Haridasa Thakur pointed out, na avasaita sava bhava ksaya. Just by the dim reflection of the holy name alone, all the sinful reactions will disappear. For that, you don't need Sudhana. For that, simply if the name is chanted in an impure state, just simply if the name is repeated, Krishna, Krishna, done. No need for chanting with love to destroy sinful activities. Nam nam yavati shakti papaniragane hare by chanting once, more sins are destroyed than one can commit in a lifetime. Hare Krishna. More sins destroyed than one can commit in a lifetime. I mean, I can commit a lot of sins in a lifetime. If even the ones that I already did commit is impressive, what can I say? Destroyed, all destroyed, saved from hellish existence. But that is simply the result of Namabhas. Then time moves on. And yes, people that we knew are no more. They are gone. Vrindavan, there was such a nice devotee. He was one of Jayananda's men. Name was Kritakarma. And he was one of Jayananda's men. So he was very friendly and sort of looking after people. And he was always waiting in the temple in Vrindavan during the day, sort of next to the columns of the courtyard, to see if any nice young boy would enter the temple. And as soon as he saw one, he would go zoom lens and he would just get them. And he met many devotees, foreign devotees, local devotees. Anytime he saw someone coming in who was a little, a possible candidate, and he really looked after them. I remember one time there was a table with many drinks, so it was hot. Maybe clay cups with lassies and nibble candies and all those things. The kind of things that give a little relief from the Vrindavan sun.
devotee, I don't know what, if he was in a mode of passion or if he was blind, he walked straight into the temple and he knocked over all the drinks. And Kritikarma said, "Are you alright? Did you hurt yourself?" Which is sort of special, right? Most people would say that. "You idiot! How could you knock over the whole table?" I would have certainly said. So he was very friendly and nice. But then fate had it, that he fell down. And fate had it that he contracted HIV. And fate had it that he didn't know, and that the Indian government, they did a blood test, and of all the foreign residents, and they came in the country, and one day the police came with guns and they just arrested him and took him away, never saying why. And that's the last time I was in. And they wouldn't tell me also why. Fine. I said, "Well, he's going to be deported." I said, "Why? What happened? What did he do?" Any fraud. Finally, when he got deported, they told me on the condition that I wouldn't tell him. So I said, "Okay, I wouldn't tell him." And I slipped him some money, and then I spoke to him on the phone when he landed on the other side. And then I told him, I said, "Remember the blood test. You tested positive." And he said, and on the phone on the other side of the window, "Oh, is really happening is that Krishna is actually seeing
mercy of Krishna simply is when Krishna is touched by our endeavor. That's enough. That's enough. Somehow or other, Krishna person, so it's not that, well, it's a matter of the pure devotional services is to be measured in by scales. Pure devotional service is measured by how much we please Krishna. And then some imperfection is overlooked when Krishna is pleased. Now, Krishna will make some arrangements for it to be purified. That's like we see in the story of this devotee. He made some offenses in Vrindavan, got severe reactions, and just burned it all up. Then continued with his eternal service. Simple. So simple. We are looking at Uddhava. We are looking at how fortunate these such devotees are, that they are so close to Krishna. So Uddhava is to us a role model, is a source of our meditation. Because just like Uddhava entered into Vrindavan, and Uddhava saw the residence of Vrindavan, and Uddhava saw that he always thought of himself as a devotee, and now he realized he had no devotion at all. So, same for us. Again, we can recognize ourselves, we can think, yes, where am I in comparison to all these personalities described? So, but we are hearing about such personalities and following them. We read about them and we get to know them. We get to know them very closely. One must know Uddhava. One must know what Uddhava did. One must know what Uddhava said and so on. We must read about Uddhava so that we come close to Uddhava. Then when we begin to know Uddhava, then we can approach Uddhava. And through Uddhava, we can go to Vrindavan. In this way, we go through all these devotees. So this is the amazing thing. It's not just stories, you know, Maharaj Pariksit, Uddhava, and all these kind of personalities are oceans of mercy, and reading about their lives is actually a great source of strength and gives us an understanding how to approach Krishna. So these are all the Mahajanas, Mahajana Yoga Plus. We must follow the path of the Mahajanas. So this nature of devotion is very important. It counts like one of the principal books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and nature of devotion. On par. I mean, this is so important. And one of the crucial books to read. We must deeply study it again and again. And it actually creates like a pillar in our spiritual life. All these short little references, it's like highly condensed, essential quotes what sadhana is, what actually devotional sentiment is, all these things, what really, what goes on in the mind of an advanced Vaishnava. It's all here. It's all here. So here we can ourselves, we can mirror ourselves in these personalities. We can see where we are and where they are. And gradually try to get there. So everything comes by chanting Hare Krishna. Absolutely. By chanting the holy name, automatically everything will be revealed. But as everything will be revealed, we become more sensitive to all this transcendental knowledge. So it's not that Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, and suddenly one day love for Krishna. No, there is in between. There is, we become more and more aware of actually what a Vaishnava's, what is on Vaishnava's mind? So, the secret of what is on Vaishnava's mind, that's in the nature of devotion. Could be a subtitle, what's on the Vaishnava's mind? The nectar of devotion.
Of course,
had stressed that for us. He found another way. He found a way for us. Must be always engaged. Always engaged in service, always. And 24 hours engaged in service. Always in service. So, but always in any of the mindful processes. Always. Some service. And we create some practical service. At the end of the day, if we are weak, just take shelter. Keep on taking shelter. Take shelter of Vaishnava behavior so that we don't make offenses. Take shelter of prasada so that the senses will get some juice. Take shelter of devotees so that we get inspiration, like these three things. Take shelter of rational behavior so that we can avoid offenses, because that can destroy anything. The senses are wild, give them lots of prasada. Stay with the devotees, because where there are devotees, there's devotional service. So these three things can save us. Okay.